Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
We'd like to begin this podcast by acknowledging the traditional custodians of the land that we are recording on in Los Angeles, the Kitch, Chumash, and Tongva people, as well as paying our respects to their elders, past and present.
Salmon or Dolly threw a great party. We all drank Bacardi, it got kind of gnarly. We're light as a feather, we're tougher than leather. Together we're weirder, we're weirder together.
Hi, I'm Ione Sky.
Oh, I'm Ben Lee. I love when you formally introduce yourself to me. It takes me back to our first meeting.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think you knew who I was when we met.
I know, but you probably said, hi, I'm Ione.
Yes.
Yeah. There was a wonderful Christmas Eve afternoon we met on.
Yeah.
In the house we now live in.
And it's on film.
I know. And I walked in not knowing that the destiny, the future that we had together.
Your karmic situation with this house.
Could you imagine? Like, that's the kind of thing you wonder, like, if I'd known that, would I have entered differently? I'd have been physically sick.
Why?
Well, I just mean with the nerves of anticipation. Oh. Like, if I'd have gone in with some kind of psychic flash of this is going to become the house you live in.
Yeah.
You're going to have a stepdaughter with the woman in here now who's not even, doesn't have a baby and a kid.
Yeah.
And you're going to be together for, you know, decades. Yeah. And I don't know, it's amazing.
I know Enid, my mom, the whole thing.
Your little bro, Jack, who I've gone on to play music with. He's currently working on some production on a song that me and Johanna Samuels did together.
I love the name of that. It's old.
We can say it. Sunset Marquee.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good name for a song. It's very romantic.
Sunset Marquee.
We probably need to shoot a video for that song where we like actually just rent a room and shoot like 90s style. Like, and actually just shoot something illegally in there.
I mean, the Sunset Marquee plays into our meeting, our romance, the night before we did it or something.
Well, the night before we had a big makeout session. Yeah, oh, that was, yeah. We've talked. Yeah, I've told that story. That was when Adam Levine gave me a pep talk at the whiskey bar at the Sunset Marquee and said, you can handle this, because I felt, you know, just not capable of like stepping up to a woman 8 years my senior.
Right. We both punched up in different ways.
Totally.
And punched down in different ways. Is that the term? Punching down?
Well, how do we punch down?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. We just both punched up in different ways. I actually can't think of how we punched down, to be honest.
Do you remember when I was being interviewed at the beginning of our dating on Australian television? And I think it was The Project or Rove or one of those shows. And they said, so you're dating an older woman. And Kate said, why did they say that? That's rude. They should have said assisting the elderly. From the mouths of babes.
Exactly. What movies have you been seeing any of the current movies these days? Saltburn.
Haven't seen it.
Can I tell you that I thought it was so fun and I just wished I could rewrite the script and make the lead character have more of a motivation. But
so you didn't like the writing?
Well, I liked some of the writing. Was amazing. It was more just there was a couple of things that would have, you know, those movies that could have been even better, and it's frustrating because you're like, oh my God, it was so close. It was so close.
Right, like Sophie's Choice, like had there been more comedy, say.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just I think more motivation for the lead character. And
so this bathwater, this famous bathwater scene, I mean, it's become this, you know.
Oh yeah,
meme.
And more, that was hot, and more personal, like, if you're going hot, like a more with the people, the hottest scenes were with inanimate objects.
Oh.
So go hotter with the real people.
I didn't realize that. So wait, do you mean there's like sexual chemistry between humans and inanimate objects?
Well, I just mean the sort of like sexy scenes are with him in the bathtub and then him like in the graveyard or something.
Yeah, I've seen things on Twitter of him and pumping the ground or something.
Yeah, I mean, there were cool.
Which I heard was like an improv, the actor, who's the actor who did that?
I'm embarrassed. I can't remember his name.
Not Jacob Elordi, the other guy. But I heard that guy demanded a closed set and asked to improvise.
He was so good.
And there was people sharing that saying, this is why directors have to learn to say no.
Well, I thought he was brilliant.
Have you ever wanted like some kind of wild new approach to a scene and like demanded an extra take or any of those kind of...
Well, you know those scenes like, you know, being a young actor, like scenes where you get to like... destroy a table in a rage. Like, you
love
just,
when actors destroy tables.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you get to like push everything off the table and throw stuff, and you just like, wow, this is going to be like an Oscar winning scene. And then you look back and it's like, good, but it's like every other scene where someone throws all the stuff off the desk.
Everyone wants to be Martin Sheen in Apocalypse Now, like having that real moment of being drunk and smashing the mirror and like lost in the character.
Yeah, there are certain scenes. I mean, I had a scene in Camping. I don't know if I think it made it where I put, that's also a scene you've seen where women put, like Betty Blue, put lipstick around the lips.
Yes.
On over the lips, and it's like crazy.
Yeah.
But it's still really fun. I mean, my one was particularly interesting because my character in Camping was so eccentric, like, you know, like I always equate it to like, what are the actresses? Like, I don't even know, the actress.
Jennifer Coolidge.
Yeah, kind of Jennifer Coolidge or, fuck, I'm forgetting her name. She was in Airplane.
Oh, right, right, right.
we've got to remember. We'll Google it. But yeah, like an eccentric kind of wispy voiced, bizarre character. So for me looking in the camera saying like something, I don't know, I'm pretty or something, but in a very odd voice and style. So then it was not just a sort of femme fatale, crazy ingenue doing it. It was like a weirdo doing it.
And you and Jengana got to rub cake all over each other.
Oh, yeah, that was good. You sound turned on by that.
I was mildly. Voice. I mean, look, mildly.
I can always tell in your words, you get this like,
you got to rub cake all over each other. And it was cake. Yeah.
I was just telling people last night, we were with Jenny Connor, and I was telling them about a scene I did. We were talking about we were singing Shelley Duvall's praises, Popeye, Three Women, The Shining. Mm. Fairy tale theater. And then I was saying I did the show she did after called Nightmare Classics, which was the same idea you get big actors to do. You know, remember fairy tale theater?
Sure.
It'd be like Robin Williams and the Frog Prince.
A bit of panto. It had that vibe of like film actors doing a little panto on the side.
Yes. And it had a like, it was not like lo-fi. It was just hit perfectly. Mm. The way that the BBC used to do like Shakespeare, like I, Claudius, like, it's like high, the costumes are actually really good, but the sets are sort of like, they're not like realistic completely, but it's still good. In any case, a bit of panto. Mine was Camilla, and it was this from a short story about Victorian vampires. And Jennifer Tilly's older sibling, who is a bigger star for a while, was one of the women in it. And we had it was a lesbian vampire story, and it was awesome.
And did you rub cake on each other?
No, but she jumped on me on a bed and like kind of bit my neck. And I was like, oh, I think I have a crush on Meg Tilly.
How wonderful.
I know. And I got to have a cat, and I was so young. I mean, I was like in my early 20s, but I'm such an animal lover. It's like, it was like a dream job. Just I got to hold a cat. I got to be in costume. Vampires. And Roddy McDowell, if anyone.
Oh, yeah, who was that?
Roddy McDowell was a child actor.
Okay.
He was like, became best friends with Elizabeth Taylor when he was older. He was this gay actor who was in How Green Was My Valley, or The Boy with the Green Hair, something in the 50s.
Something was green. Yeah.
And then he became, you've seen him in a million things, Roddy McDowell. He was just great. And, you know, he was just fabulous, and he took pictures. Mm. So he has so many pictures of every job. He did a billion jobs throughout his career. And I was in one of his last jobs, and my brother worked with him as well once, but he was just a great person and
cool
actor. But anyway, he was in it too, which was fun.
I was going to say, I, not being an actor, I was totally under the impression, like, it's almost like the urban legend of acting is that hysterical scenes are, that's where real acting is, like the sobbing and the thrashing around. Yeah. And the, you know, and I remember, I think it was like Winona said, that was the first person to say that to me, that like those scenes are actually easier to do than more subtle scenes. Yeah. And
think of Rod Steiger or something.
Think of Rod Stewart.
And Rod Stewart. Rod, like certain actors that don't do anything, but you feel so much and you're like, Jesus, this is where it's at. Not, I think it's all good, you know, but those, the actors who can kind of not have to yell, but I mean, not that yelling is bad. I'm just saying there's no rules, but it's like, if you can do that, holding something, you know, that intensely.
But isn't it so paradoxical, like, as especially as you move on with your craft, how much not doing anything is part of doing the thing well? Like, there's all of this craft and technique and everything you have to learn, but a huge part of expertise in any area is simply being relaxed and being present.
Yeah.
And it is so, so hard to learn.
I know. Those, like the ballet performances where you don't feel the effort, but obviously they've done hours and hours and hours and hours. But yeah, true, true.
Had a fun night the other night going to your old bestie, Amelia Fleetwood's, what number birthday was it?
Probably 50. Well, I'm 53, so 53.
53 at, where was the Red Lion Inn?
Yes.
In Silver Lake?
Yes. I had never been there.
Never been there. We sat down straight away with Amanda. Nick Valencia and Amanda Decadene, and Nick said this was like a dude's hang place for him. Like, he'd never brought his wife there. Not only because he thought Amanda wouldn't like it, but he thought she wouldn't like him being there.
Right.
It was like a place of almost like a deep shame for him. But
she
like,
looked,
it was
yeah, like, she looked bemused by the atmosphere.
Well, the food was not, it was a place to drink. I think that's why. Well, I think it's like, if you have great food, you can almost hide the binge drinking. But in the sort of like in the guise of it being a civilized gathering, whereas this was like...
Yeah, it sort of was like, well, a German, but there's good
beer. And in Germany, the food's not great often.
But I ordered something that had warm red cabbage, and that was amazing. Mm. I mean, I've had cabbage soup, which is warm, and then there's also like borscht, which can be warm or cold, but Eastern European, whatever. But this warm cabbage, I kind of am craving it. But also I think cabbage is like, I can crave, if I start eating cabbage, there must be something in it that's red, like the purple cabbage that's like good for, really good for you.
There must be.
But that was good. But anyways,
it was a really good night.
Cold. So
I ordered some potato pancakes that were just frozen hash browns. That was not.
Which could go either way.
Yes. If you're at home and doing a hungover fry up, it's great. But
sure.
At a pub.
And it was outdoors and kind of chilly. So the food got cold right away. But so we saw Amanda Decadene and Nick Valencia.
Had a great hang with Daphne and Pali. And Pali really wanted to do a deep dive with me on the whole Tim Minchin thing that went down, that the beautiful babies will know.
Oh, because
you know,
he's interested in squashing beef and also creating some problems.
Yeah, he's interested. He's also just interested in the concept of like noble revenge.
Yeah.
And the idea that like you can, like sometimes resolving things with people that you've had drama with is like getting revenge that's satisfying.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
So he was telling me he had all these people from the past that he loved the idea of getting the opportunity to actually like have either a sit down or some sort of thing that you don't get the chance to do without a platform often, you know?
I know. That was great. And I love Daphne, and Amy looked amazing in a faux fur jacket with this like suede, either Louis Vuitton or Yves Saint Laurent little suede brown bag that went with the coat.
You love that bag. You've mentioned that bag. Many. Are you dropping hints about a future?
No, we should spend money on other things.
Those kind of presents are great when your finances aren't mixed. Like when it's truly a gift from someone that's money that's not yours. But when you buy each other fancy gifts within a marriage and you know you're spending shared money.
Well, we sort of like
are
building a business it feels like it's all good.
Yeah, yeah.
But it looked fabulous. Good on her. Yeah, just this kind of color, the browns together were really good. And I love John C. Reilly.
Yeah,
and John. I love Allison Dickey, his wife.
Yeah, and John's gearing up to do his show at the, I think, the Pasadena Playhouse. He has this character, Mr. Romantic, where he sings sort of all these standards and old country songs. And he does it all within the show, within very like just a romantic format.
So and as good as he is as an actor, the music is just as good.
Yeah, he's good. He's really created a character, which I think is great when actors do that, because it's almost like they're not in denial of being an actor.
Right.
When they're doing music, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Together we're weirder, we're weirder together.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
And then it was funny, Francesca Gregorini had just wrapped her film.
Her third movie. I know. I was like, this is like your wrap party.
You know what's funny? The next day I opened up Instagram and Francesca said, look, I just made my first reel. And she'd made like a little reel of photos of her and Tatiana. And I was like, I didn't realize that's what you wrapped. It was really took you 13 days to do it.
Just kidding. She really wrapped a real movie.
JK, real movie, real movie.
Oh, but, my God. Well, she and Tatiana von Furstenberg's relationship has been so inspiring and wonderful.
Yeah.
And when I first met them, we all used to like hang out non-sexually in baths. It was very like, you know, we would have a bath and a chat.
Like how many would you get in there? How many people could you squeeze in?
It was usually two at a time, but oh my God, I'm just thinking of another funny story for the memoir.
You want to give a hint?
It's at, is it at the Mercer? Yeah, it's at the Mercer Hotel in New York involving Pete? Wait, who's the director of Friday Night Lights? Fuck. It's so hard to remember names when you're like focused on, he's a dude. He's like a real dude. Anyway, and Zoe Cassavetes. I mean, nothing, Zoe's not implicit.
She's not implicit?
No, what's the word? I'm not incriminating her in this scenario.
Zoe's not hopping in a bath.
Wait, what does implicit mean?
Implicit is like innate to something. It's
oh no.
Like implied.
It's another word with those Latin roots.
Implicated. Yeah.
So anyway,
I thought you can tell the story about when you first met Tatiana and she was paper macheing her boobs.
Oh yeah. That's a great story. That's in the book.
Okay. Are you going to tell? I'll tell the story.
I don't know. I want everyone to buy the book. Well, it was an afternoon in Los Angeles and I was weeping and
wait, why?
Because Anthony was going on tour and we were fighting.
Oh.
And we were in a duplex, our duplex apartment, a beautiful deco duplex apartment in West Hollywood. And we were having a fight and he said, you'll be all right. You know, there's two girls have moved in upstairs. You should be friends with them. Because my world was becoming smaller and smaller. You can imagine, you know, he was like
dating a junkie.
And, you know, it was a hard relationship. And I was like, all right. And he went to pack or something. And I was like in jeans. I had like maybe showered and just put on my jeans and I didn't have on a shirt yet. And I walked upstairs holding my boobs.
That's so weird.
Isn't
it? To meet people you didn't know yet.
I know. And I was crying, but it was as if I intuited something because I walk in and they're topless, Beata and Tatiana, because they're doing, but Beata was at Cal Arts at the time.
Right.
She might have been doing a project.
Yeah.
And they were paper macheing. And so I just started chatting. And the truth is, I think the reason I was topless is because I had met Tatiana before.
And you knew that topless was a normal state of affairs.
If you know Tatiana, she's a real lady. Like, literally, I think she is a lady.
A real topless lady.
I think she's royalty. But she's also Bohemian,
so I knew she
wouldn't mind.
Gotcha.
But I was weeping and topless, and we ended up doing paper mache, and I was, before you knew it, felt great. You know, the power of female friendship.
The power of paper mache. Yeah. Can we talk about our delicious dinner at Jar the other night with Cam and Mike Raphael? So For people that love pods, you've probably heard Poog, which is Kate Berlant and Jacqueline Novak's podcast, which, by the way, Jacqueline Novak's Netflix special, Get On Your Knees, is out this week.
That and we Natasha saw it at Largo. Natasha Leon directed.
And we saw it at Largo a couple of years back, and it's amazing. Yeah. So people should watch it.
People see it several times.
But part of their mission is to turn people on to the power of Jar, the restaurant.
It really is.
And they did it for us. We went there, and we've gone back several times. Well, you know, I'll say
the combination of the wood paneling, the lighting, of course, is so important. The room, it's like, I believe it's carpeted, but in a good way. And it's chic, but it's not like super stuffy fancy. But it's almost like being in a beautiful, like, I've never been on a cruise.
Yeah, it feels like you're on a cruise, though.
You know, Baruch Hashem or something. I don't ever want to go on a cruise except maybe there's one in Egypt in this small boat or something that sounds fabulous. Mm. Or like from Death in Venice, or what's the cruise from, you know?
Yeah, okay.
Well, Agatha Christie. Yeah, a chic.
There's a certain type of cruise, yeah.
Small chic cruise. But anyway, this is like being on a nice cruise.
But you know why else it's like a cruise? Is it always at least half the people eating dinner are senior citizens?
Yes.
But they're very like glamorous.
Yes.
And they've dressed up to go out to dinner. It's one of those restaurants. There's not that many restaurants where you get that real mix of generations.
Yes.
All stylish
and black
eating.
And white.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's really
but
good.
So it's got that feeling. There's always older people. The first time I went there, I saw Nancy Silverton from, you know, who's my mom's friend who has
Mozza.
So she's a foodie, and I was like, okay, this place is good. And it is really good. And the wait staff, the way they talk about food, it's almost like
they get you pumped
on Instagram.
Yes.
When you watch food, I hate the term food porn, whatever, you know, it's like the way they describe it. It's like, you feel like they've cooked it and they're telling you like, you know, we squished the sage, but it's not over the top. Like when people do the too much explaining in the wrong way, you're like, please stop talking about this.
Yeah, this is inappropriate.
Inappropriate. Yeah, yeah. I feel like there's no consent.
Yes.
But the way they do it, you're like, yeah. Because they genuinely, I think, are into it.
Yeah, it was so good. And our friends Cam and Mike, who we've known from the neighborhood for several years, but it's fun because I feel like I've told this story before, but Mike came up to us at the Mulholland Tennis Club, and he's one of the only people who came up to me and was like, I love the song Free Diving, which is the song I did with Nego, the Bathing Ape
guy.
And like, he's just, because he comes from that world of streetwear, of Supreme and Stussy and stuff. So it was really fun to have a little, I don't know, it felt like a little meeting of the minds about culture.
And we're both in Laurel Canyon. So we sort of, it is a bit of a village in a way. And we sort of went through our mutual friends. Like it was fun to talk.
And they also like really believe in you as a painter, which I love. I love all these. I feel like there's people more coming to like you've had with the memoir, people kind of getting in your corner. I feel like that's going to happen more and more in these different areas. Like people want to champion
you. Yeah, people have always liked my paintings, but now I guess it's because I'm feel ready to do another show soon. Mm. And I don't know. It's just nice. Also, now I'm talking to more people who are kind of in the art world. Yeah. So it'll be good.
You're vibrating visual art energy out and people are meeting you. It's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Richard Shepherd about paint. Like writing, I could write almost like on a busy subway. Like I could kind of write anywhere. Mm. But painting, I think I associate it to being single more, or being like when I was married to Adam and he was at the studio a lot and I kind of felt like I was having my own space. So I have to do cognitive therapy. You know, I have to reprogram myself to realize like you can paint even if you're living in a house with your kid and your husband and there's dogs running around. Like we have space and I have a studio area.
But also I think maybe just psychologically and emotionally, it was an escape for you. It was like your room of one's own.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to like reconnect with that side of you that like lets yourself have that maybe.
Yeah. Cause I view when I painted here last, I was single and in New York when I lived in New York and it, naturally, if you're alone bumbling around the house, like your creativity, it just feels so, but that might've been just being in my 20s. You have a different, you know, I'm a real, you know, whatever, ethereal, poetic, like, I don't want to say dreamer.
You're a fairy. You're Fae. You're one of the Fae children.
Oh, Fae children.
Do you remember when we were at that stone circle with your dad in Ireland?
Yes.
And I was making some little movies. He took us out.
Thank God he made those movies.
And he turns to the camera and he goes, I do believe in fairies. I do. I do believe in fairies. I was like, that is the archetypal Donovan moment I just captured on film.
It's so good.
But I was going to say the other thing is to paintings. Oh, I wanted to talk about that we went to the Tycoons Club.
The Tycoons
yeah,
Club.
Yeah, so Matt Devine, who used to be in Kill Hannah, this band, and now is involved in a bunch of different things, he invited us to have a little meeting there about some things we're working on with Marvin Scott Jarrett. And he has this place he calls the Tycoons Club, and it's this amazing guest house that he's decorated. Like, it reminds me of like an old, like, where did like the Flintstones, the guys were like part of those clubs where they would wear the horns and everything.
The Poobah.
Yeah, like not Freemasons, but it's that type of vibe.
Yeah,
it's like
but decorated. So the name is deceiving because Tycoons Club sounds almost like Entourage. Like it sort of sounds, it could go in one direction, but it the way his whole vibe and the way he decorated it, it reminds me a little bit of Shakespeare and Company.
The bookshop.
Yeah, he was a man from Massachusetts who moved to Paris, and he had this bookstore, and he died maybe 10 years ago, I don't know. But I went, he had this bookstore that was amazing, and upstairs he lived, and if you knew him, and I knew him through Rachel Horowitz, Adam and I spent the night there in Paris one night, and he cooked us dinner, and it was like so funky, but all antiques, very maximalism, but this man, no, Matt is an interior designer,
yeah.
But it's done in a way that's like, just like not like so done in quotations, beautiful pieces. He just has it. The lighting was amazing.
And then he had the entry to membership to the club is you have to pick an orange from the tree outside, and then he makes you an old fashioned with that orange, and then you're officially a member.
Yeah, it's old Hollywood glam meets, you know, just kind of English country house. Like it's eclectic, but in that kind of, you know, late 1800s up until the 50s.
Yeah.
And so, but the Shakespeare and Company person, I forgot his name, he cooked us the craziest meal, and it was like in a pan that had just never been washed.
Oh,
like
that's so
greased.
French, isn't it?
So
just like
French.
Let the grease build up and build up.
Yeah, but it was good. We were worried about, but it was really good. But it was, you know, this great, you know, with rugs as bedspreads and, you know, just all very eccentric, but like tasteful.
Amazing.
And it's hard to, Matt creates that atmosphere. Like everyone wants that salon, that like, you know, Gertrude Stein, whatever. And you can't fake it. You know, you can't like create that kind of eccentric vibe that actually does feel really creative and good.
Mm-hmm.
But he's able to host that vibe.
Yeah.
So my mom might do a poker night there.
That would be amazing.
She's a real maja. She'll be the real...
Your mom, my mother-in-law, who has been, you know, friend of the pod too, mother of the pod and friend of the pod, she's a gangster.
And she was such a beautiful baby, speaking, that's what we call our fans. But it's funny that she became such a kind of like, you know, maybe it's the Bronx in her, who knows what it is. But when she was a baby, she was this like, talk about a fairy. Mm. She had little blonde curls and looked like so innocent. I feel, when I see pictures of her as a kid, and I think of my grandfather, who was great, and I was like probably the closest to him as of anyone in the family. He was amazing. But like a Hungarian, you know, just like a piece of work, like just full of beans, like just probably scary as a dad. He never hurt his kids or anything, but just his personality was so big. Like my cousin was like, Grandpa Benny, Uncle Benny was scary. Like, but it was just because he was like the guys in Goodfellas, like big, but without the killing.
But well, yeah, your family has this kind of like, it's like a subtle gangster side to it.
It's like an Eastern European.
It's like the Jewish gangster kind of thing. Like, I feel like your mom does know some secrets that could bring down, because it could ruin some people's lives.
I don't know about that.
You don't think she knows where a few bodies are buried?
Uh-uh. No? I don't know about that, but I do know she hasn't been afraid to date people who, like, you know, sold pot and whatever, you know, but she's cool. Or she likes to also get, like, the in, like, oh, you know, usually no one lets someone in there, but I can be let in there because I'm, you know.
There is something about people that have led, you know, somewhat dangerous or lives somewhat on the edge of what civilized society, at becoming these dignified grandparents, that it's just like such a win. You know what I mean? Like, I love seeing a gangster just become like a harmless old grandparent.
Yeah. I mean, for her, when we say gangster, it means like kind of that she just suffers no fools. She's like, she doesn't fake it. She'll never, like, you know.
She'll make some difficult choices and she'll take him to the grave.
Exactly. You know? And she'll, you know, she won't like pretend she liked something she didn't, or yeah, even her own food. She's like, it was a bit dry. Yeah. She's very.
I don't know if my mom has any secrets. I'm not sure. She doesn't.
Your mom also is really.
But my mom's more of an anxious type, so she'd want to tell the secrets, I think.
But she's also very, like, matriarchal in a good way.
We both had some tough mamas.
But good. I mean, in a good
way. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah,
good
tough
role models.
Is good. It's funny, I think tough isn't good, but it is good.
No, good role models.
What was I going to say?
So we're going to have a meeting this afternoon with Safia Malik about Subtle Urban Sex Appeal Season 2.
Yeah.
Little strategy production meeting, which I'm excited about. Season one. If people haven't checked out that podcast yet, there's 10 episodes in season one. It's all finished. It's a great time to check it out. You can listen.
If you're confused why every third post is of other people doing a podcast,
it's something we're producing that we're very excited
about. These are our children that we're really, really excited about. So Violet, my niece, is going back to school. She's been in LA for a while. I'm very proud of her. She's like become a model, and I'm really. She's
becoming like her mom, like a supermodel. Yeah. She's on her trajectory.
Yeah, so that's been kind of exciting, and
I think she's in the new issue of Vogue.
Right? Yes, yeah. So I'm plugging her. Yeah. If I don't know why, but she's got it.
You're proud of her.
I'm proud of her.
Yeah.
And she's a good egg.
Absolutely.
How about the chilling billionaire story we heard?
Oh yeah, that's so weird. We both heard this story during the week, and it took us like half an hour to try and figure out where we'd heard it. But the story was so fascinating. It was that there was a group of like billionaires at a dinner table.
Maybe on one of those retreats, which I picture like from Succession, you know, the retreats.
Yeah, like some kind of Illuminati retreat in the hills. And that these guys sat around.
But in the Bezos billionaire world, like that kind
tech
of.
Billionaires and
tech
stuff.
Tech billionaires and stuff.
Talking around when they have to go underground into their bunkers.
I don't even think it's underground. I think
that's where the bunkers are, aren't
but
they?
But I think their bunkers, billionaire bunkers, are like domes. I picture it like these, like they have like...
You're picturing James Bond bunkers.
Well, yeah, like they
but
have...
Remember on the Kardashians when they actually looked at a bunker? It wasn't like that.
Oh.
Bunkers, they were just like underground.
Right.
Because I think if you get bombed, you want to be...
Yeah,
but anyway,
yeah.
They were talking about, is it better to let the help bring their families underground into the bunker?
Because the help may not revolt if they're happy because they have their family there.
But then the trade-off is you have to support the families, and you have to you become outnumbered if they all have their families. Is this a crazy,
it just
like,
sounds like so
ruthless conversation.
Like sci-fi, like, and also like the Russian Revolution. Like, it sounds like people revolting against the, you know, 1%. But that is wild to think of it as the people you're bringing to help clean up your house for you and cook for you.
Should you let them have their little families to let off steam?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. It's gorgeous.
Chilling.
Uplifting story.
I know.
I've got some music coming out soon. Like, me and Shamir did a song a few years back that we only put out on SoundCloud, and we're going to re-release it properly digitally, which
good.
I'm excited about.
Yes.
And that one with, and I spent a really fun day with John Vanderslice in the studio the other day. John's an absolute indie rock legend. He had tiny telephone studios. He's made beautiful records for years. And we wrote this song together called Gods Since We Were Young, that is, I'm really excited about. So we're going to finish that next week and get it out there.
Yeah. So about the conflict of
women? Between like confidence as an artist, the confidence you feel mixed with the insecurity you feel and how you sort of ping pong back and forth.
I love it. I heard them. Demo and it's, it's so really good. It's really, really good.
Yeah. So beautiful babies. You know what? We haven't asked people to like write a little review, a little 5-star rating or whatever. Do that kind of thing.
Subscribe, rate, and review.
Yeah. And oh my God, you're getting so good at plugging yourself. I feel like this is this new era of you plugging yourself is going to be, it's like filling the gap between where you want your career to be and where it's, you know what I mean? It's like, I think self-promotion is like getting comfortable with it. Like, cause you've struggled with that so much, hey?
Yeah, I've got a
little. I feel like you've like made peace with it.
Yeah, I have.
It's admirable.
I know, thanks.
You're a gangster.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. I'm you're all gangsters too, beautiful babies.
Beautiful babies, we love you. We'll be around. We're going to go to Santa Barbara and New York.
Oh, yeah. I got some trips planned.
But that's all. We'll see you next time.
See you next time. Together we're weirder, we're weirder together.